This is a supplemental teaching for Discipleship 101 on the subject of Lordship. This teaching is provided for the instruction team to help develop the weekly teaching for the Discipleship 101 course. Just in brief, as we begin to look at this week's teaching, just again, you guys have been doing a wonderful job, and I just want to say that we as a pastoral staff are very proud of you and are excited about what God is doing in our teaching series. We've begun a great journey through the scriptures, and over the past 2 weeks, there has been a great foundation that is being laid. We've gone through the subject matter of salvation and assurance. And honestly, there's so much more teaching that we can go through in these areas. But for the purpose of this new believers class, I just want to express that there's two main concepts that we have to ensure that are in place. And as you begin to teach this week, maybe you can just review very quickly these two main concepts. And that is number one, that out of the love that God had for all of humanity, he gave his son Jesus to die for our sins. Jesus took our debt to sin away at the cross of Calvary, and we obtained salvation and are reunited to God the Father by verbally confessing Jesus as Lord of our lives, according to Romans 10, 9, and 10. Just in the area of salvation, that would be a great point just to go over one more time to make sure that we got that. After going through a lot of the paperwork that was turned in, I just wanted to make sure that we express that we receive salvation by confessing Jesus as Lord of our lives, and ensuring that everyone understands that according to Romans 10, 9, and 10, that's how we confess ourselves to the Lord and we receive salvation. Point number two, in regards to assurance, just again to clarify and to ensure to make sure that these points are in place, according to assurance or in regards to assurance, we have an everlasting assurance or security in our salvation with Jesus. So in our daily lives with God, we know that he is always with us and that when we die, we will be in eternity with God in heaven. So those are just two points that we want to make sure that we express once again. But this brings us to this week's teaching on Lordship, which is a foundational understanding of the fear of the Lord and wisdom. We serve a loving God and a powerful Savior, and we know Jesus is our King and Lord. In fact, Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He, in fact, is the one whose name is above all names. The scriptures teach that Jesus is now seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And as you step back and visualize what is being depicted in these scriptures, we begin to grasp a vision of the majesty of God. And we can begin to understand the ruler of the kingdom, which is God. He is the supreme in all things. And when we come to salvation, we have invited his spirit, the spirit of the Almighty, to live and dwell within our lives. When we ask the Lord to enter our hearts, we ask him to be the Lord of our lives. This is a wonderful request because our desire as Christians is to live for God and to fulfill his will. Now, this is where the Lordship part really is important to stress, that he loved us so much that he would be willing to take on our debt to sin, so we love him in return by giving God our lives. I want to add into this teaching, I know it's not in the scripture base, but we need to add this scripture into what we're teaching. It's a very important scripture to note, and that is 1 Corinthians 6:20. That's 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you are bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we got to make sure that we are expressing that scripture in this week's teaching. If you can, I would appreciate it, because it really kind of defines the fact that we belong to God. And so I'll read that again. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for you are bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, when we receive the Lord, he becomes our Lord. And that's a very important concept, that Jesus becomes our Lord. Now, the word Lord means one having power and authority over others. So in reality, we are asking God to take control of our lives. This is a challenge to many people because before Christ and before salvation in Jesus Christ, we had control of our lives, we as individuals. But now as Christians, we are asking God to take control. This reminds me of the song that is sung by the popular country artist that came out of American Idol. Her name is Carrie Underwood. One of her most popular songs was entitled, "Jesus, Take the Wheel." And the entire song tells the story of a person that is at their last wits in various conditions of life. But the final cry is to God. And this is the chorus in how the song goes. It says, "Jesus, take the wheel. Take it from my hands, because I can't do this on my own. I'm letting go. So give me one more chance. Save me from this road I'm on. Jesus, take the wheel." In other words, Jesus, please guide me and lead me. When Jesus, our Lord, and when He is Lord of our lives, He leads us and we follow Him. That's a whole different way of thinking as compared to what it was like before we were Christians. When we become Christians, He becomes Lord of our lives. He leads us and we follow Him. Then we have a desire for the will of the Lord to be done and the work of the Lord to be accomplished. And that's the only way that'll take place, is if Jesus is leading us through our path of life. We desire to allow God to use us in this way as His willing and obedient vessels for the expansion and growth of the kingdom through witnessing, discipleship, and other forms of worship. In fact, right here is where Scripture, Matthew 6:33, really is key, because it says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." This is where we put God as a priority in our lives. He is first in everything. And when we place God first in our lives, we follow Him, then He is truly the Lord over us. This whole experience really is about the love relationship that we have with God through Christ Jesus. I hope by now we can all see that God loves us, and that the most important element that He wants from humanity is relationship. We need to emphasize that God is not a taskmaster or a tyrant God. He is not demanding or commanding of our love, yet He so desires that from us that He's not willing to force anyone to love us. He's not willing to force anybody. He's not trying to force you to love Him. It would not be true love. You know, we all know what it's like to be in a loving relationship or a true love relationship. But that would not be true love if we were forced to love anyone. And God wants to truly have His people in love with Him. And so love is something that we give back unto God freely. And we say, "Lord, I'll serve You. I will follow Your commandments." And this is how we express our love to Him and allow Him to be Lord of our lives. Our God is compassionate and has given us a will to love. So the act of loving God as our Lord is upon us, and we have to make the choice to love God. In other words, we have to make the decision to follow Him and to love Him and to continue to do as we progress and develop in our relationship with Jesus Christ. So as we're continuing to develop and grow in Him, we got to continue to love God, and we're going to always love God, and sometimes even when it's challenging, we're going to love God. And we have to have that in our mind, because as He is Lord of our lives, you know, as He decrees into our lives and gives us instructions, you know, we have to realize it's out of His love that He's guiding us, and out of our love for Him, we follow Him. So in the Bible, when Jesus was being tested by the Pharisees and the lawyers of the day, they asked Him, they said, "Which of the commandments was the greatest?" And in Matthew 22:37-38, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." And Jesus was telling them an answer that they didn't expect. And they thought that He would make a mistake and choose one of the Ten Commandments of God and then put one of them as a priority over the others. But Jesus gave them the key to the commandments, and that was to make the choice to love God with everything and all that is within them. And when we learn and choose to do this, then and only then will we be giving God control of our lives. And again, He will be our Lord. So now we must understand this very important point, and that is serving God is a blessing. It is a joy and it is a delight. There is nothing bad about serving the Lord. You may go through several changes in your life as God leads and directs you, but serving Jesus as Lord is good. It's, in fact, it's great. And the Bible teaches us that what type of mindset we should have as believers. And here it is in Psalms 37, 4 and 5. It says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this." You see here in this scripture, there are a few key points to consider and keep on our hearts at all times. And they are, number one, delight. We should be delighted to be living for God. We should not be discouraged or dismayed. We are to be the most blessed and happy people in the world. Delight in serving him. Delight in loving him. Delight in worship. Delight in study. Delight in prayer. In other words, delight in all that you can experience with the Lord. Number two, commit your way to the Lord. Here's another key toward understanding the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And it is not that he is demanding you. We all have to make this decision. Are we going to commit to the ways of the Lord or not? And I say we need to say, yes, I want to commit to his way. The Bible is instructing us to commit to God's ways. The Bible is telling us this is the right thing to do. And in fact, it is a great thing to do. We have to commit our ways to our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have to say, Lord, let my way be your way. Number three, we have to trust in him. We serve a good God that we love and that we must trust. As we allow God to take rule and reign of our lives, we must trust him and his will. We must allow his will to be done in our lives. We must diminish our will in our way and commit ourselves to his will and to his way. This is all about trusting the Lord. It's a very key part in understanding God as the Lord of our lives. Because sometimes God leads us and directs us into places that we think, you know, aren't the best situation. But if we're trusting God, he's not only going to lead us in, but he's going to get us through, and he's going to lead us out so that he can receive the glory for all that he has done to lead and guide us, and we follow through in his footsteps. So we thank the Lord for that. But those are things that, 3 points I really think that we need to drive in to this mindset of understanding Jesus as Lord. And that again is, number one, that we should delight in him. Number two, that we should commit our ways to the Lord. And number three, we got to trust in him. And these are all points that are pulled right out of Psalms 37, 4 and 5. And it's a very key scripture to understanding the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So in serving the Lord, we cannot serve other gods. And this is so key. In the Bible, when Moses brought the commandments down from the mountaintop and he brought them to the people, one of the commandments that God says, said, "You shall have no other gods before me." In other words, he wants to be Lord of our lives. So we have to understand that. So in serving the Lord, again, we cannot serve any other gods. In other words, we cannot let or allow any other outside influences alter or to determine the path for our lives. It can only be God. With Jesus as Lord, he is the only one that has that authority. Jesus is going to lead your life. God's going to give you direction. He's going to get you through things. He's going to move you in directions. And there can't be anything else that you can experience in this world or in this life that can move you. It's going to be Jesus. So we cannot serve two masters. For those that live one way of life and then appear to serve the Lord at other times, it will be evident in their life. Jesus pointed this out in Luke 6, 46, as he said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" When we call Jesus Lord, we obediently do as he says for us to do. We live as his word declares us to live. As John 15, 15 states, "I am the vine and you are the branches." In other words, he is the source. He is the source of our strength. He is the source of direction, and we are the branches. We are living off of the vine. We are the ones that if the Lord is calling us and saying, "Go here, do this," we're saying, "Yes, Lord, I will." So if a man remains in me and I in him, this is what the scripture says, John 15:15. The second part says, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So this is where it all gets summed up, that as a Christian, if God is not leading your life, is not directing your life, is not the Lord over your life, then the Word of God is clear and says you can do nothing. So it is important for us to say, Lord, obediently and out of love, I will follow you. I will follow your direction. I will do as you say for me to do in my life. And I trust you, Lord. I trust you and commit myself to you. Regardless of anything, I will delight in all the things that you ask me to do, and I will be a follower of your word. And that's important. That's how we put Jesus as Lord of our lives. Jesus is Lord. As Christians, let's let him be Lord of us. Let Jesus take the will of our lives. Let's trust him and see how good it is to live for our Lord.